There's a call today from the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry to give some sort of guide to businesses, large and small, on what will happen when we get the vaccine freedoms. Now, already this week, just in New South Wales alone, we've had contradictions. We had, firstly, the Deputy Premier saying, oh, well, there'll be certain things lifted at 70% when we get there sometime in October, and then we'll get to 80% probably sometime late October, early November. Well, there's an opportunity there for perhaps unvaccinated people to also have restrictions eased. Then this happened last night on Peter Credlin's program with Gladys Berejiklian, who originally said quite clearly at her media conference, no, we won't be opening up things to people who are not double vaccinated. But then...
Now, in terms of what vaccinated and unvaccinated people will be able to do at that time, we're working on that 80% roadmap. For example, in some places around the world, if there's a major event with 100% stadium capacity, in the UK and other places, they say you either need to be vaccinated or else have at least demonstrated a negative test. So there's all these issues we need to work through. But the good news is that if you're vaccinated at 80%, there'll be definitely more things you can do than what you could do at 70%. There'll be greater opportunities for us to increase the numbers at events and other personal and public events. But there'll also be a lot of other issues we need to consider in relation to unvaccinated people.
And the answer's a pineapple. I don't know what she's talking about. I've got no idea. Peter Credlin was then talking about venue compliance.
When you reopen at 70% double dose, you appear to say that you will concentrate compliance on individuals and big business, but you won't be expecting small business to play the cop on who enters premises and checks out vaccination. Is that right?
Well, look, we're looking to say something about this in the near future, but we appreciate a lot of small businesses are literally hanging on by a thread. And obviously the compliance regime that we'd expect them to have in place would be very different to a major event organiser or large establishments that have lots of people coming through all the time. So it's also about individual responsibility, Peter. People need to do the right thing. And with the one-stop passport we'll have is through the New South Wales Service New South Wales app, you'll be able to check your QR code to get into a venue, and that will also say that you're vaccinated. So you'll be able to do everything in the one go. It'll be very easy for the business. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if it's a large establishment, a large event, there'll presumably be someone near the door checking on everybody. But obviously, for smaller premises, we have to work out the compliance regime. We don't want it to be an extra burden, quite the opposite. So we're actually going through those challenges now. What we wanted to do with the roadmap is get it out as soon as possible to say to everybody, dust off those COVID safe plans, get ready. This is what's likely to happen at exactly this point in time. But in terms of the detail around the compliance regime, whether it's extra penalties, and also responsibility comes down to us as individuals as much as it does to a large establishment.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm the smartest bloke in the world, but I'm buggered if I know what she's talking about. I really don't know. I thought I'd better check with the CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Andrew McKellar. He's on the line right now. G'day, Andrew.
Yes, good morning, Ray.
I'm confused, as no doubt many of the people you represent are similarly confused. We've got to have some direction from government. We can't have the wishy-washy stuff of saying, oh, well, the small businesses will have to comply themselves and big businesses will have to do this. Surely to goodness, if we have a health order which is enforceable during a pandemic, that would give all businesses some surety that they're doing the right thing without being sued for discriminating against people.
Well, I think you're touching on a very relevant point, and there's a real sense of frustration, I think, beginning to emerge in the business community now about the lack of clarity and the lack of certainty about these arrangements. There's been a so-called national plan out there now for a couple of months, and really we need to be filling in the detail. And business needs lead time to prepare. So if we are going to hit these thresholds later in October, in the next month or so, and I hope we do, we can start to get back to business more normally. We can start to lift some of the restrictions. But how this will work, who will be able to access businesses, who businesses can open up to, and how it's going to be enforced, these details need to be developed very, very quickly. And they're not there at the moment. There's no consistency.
Look, one of the problems I found, I just go back to the QR code in New South Wales. I campaigned feverishly on behalf of my listeners to get the supermarkets, Woolies, Coles, Aldi and the rest, to have someone at the front door to check the people complying. And not just with masks, but also with a QR code. Now, those companies wouldn't you know, cooperate. Then they decided they better cooperate because Victor Dominello, the minister, intervened. So what I'm saying is self-regulation doesn't work in a pandemic. You've got to have clear laws defined by governments, be it state or federal, that actually tell businesses what they're expected to do, whether it's a corner cafe or a large hotel or a large venue that caters to 100 people in the form of a restaurant. You've got to have defined rules. You can't just simply say, oh, look, what you're supposed to do is this, but we don't have any real direction, so you do your best. I mean, your best probably wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah, no, that's totally correct. Of course, we do need to have those defined rules out there. So if that's going to be through public health orders, then let's get those developed and out. It should be done on a consistent basis, so there needs to be a consistent approach to this across the different states and territories. But then equally, there's got to be an approach to enforcement, and I think it is utterly unreasonable to expect that small businesses in particular are going to be, you know, the cops on the beat when it comes to this. Of course they will make reasonable efforts. Of course they will put the QR codes up. Of course they will ask their customers to scan in. But the idea that you're going to have, you know, shop employees becoming the enforcement agents for the New South Wales government or the Victorian government or anybody else, I think that's a step too far. We've got to have in place best endeavours, but it's got to, you know, there needs to be a clearly articulated regime around how this is going to work. And business just does not have that certainty at the moment.
Okay, well, let's look at New South Wales, particularly at the moment. Queensland's not in any great lockdown. There are restrictions, but New South Wales are aiming to come out either on the 11th, the 18th, the 25th, or the 1st of November. So 3 dates in October. As soon as they get the 70% the following Monday, they come, not out of lockdown, but they lift certain restrictions, and part of that will be pubs, clubs, restaurants, cafes will be open and able to do it. It would be no good the Premier waiting until that figure gets to 70%, say, on a Tuesday, and saying, well, next Monday we're going to, you know, allow this to happen without a plan in place well before that. Now, she's saying, oh, we're developing it and all that. You don't have to develop it. You actually say, well, we know that one date in October or early November we're going to come out of some form of lockdown. So what we need to do is plan it now, you know, a month in advance of when we may be out of lockdown. So it's no good of saying, oh, we're developing it, because I know from my own, you know, part of all of this over the last 18 months and the QRKs and all the other things, you can't do it in a week. You can't do it in 4 days. You need about a month of preparation so that everything is there and all the things are in place so that the pubs, the clubs, the cafes and the restaurants, the smaller establishments, know exactly where they stand as opposed to larger places, whether it's Bunnings, Woolies, Coles, Aldi, all the rest. They've all got to know, they've got to have some plan in place so they can enact the plan. And if they have to employ a security guard, if they're a larger establishment, we'll have to employ them, you know, because like you say, you don't want a 17-year-old casual worker, male or female, being on the door monstered by someone who decides they want to come in regardless of whether they're vaccinated or regardless of whether they've got a QR code.
Yeah, look, that's totally correct. And I think this is the concern that many in the business community have. So we need that now. We know National Cabinet's meeting tomorrow. I think one of the things that, whether it's the business community or more broadly, that's been completely unedifying in this whole experience is seeing state premiers bickering and playing sort of one-upmanship games on some of these issues. I really think tomorrow has got to be the time where the National Cabinet starts to come back together. We've seen the wind go out of the sails of the National Cabinet process, I think, in recent times. They're not making progress on these issues, and we are seeing, you know, states break away. We've got to stop that. We've got to get back to a common script, and we've got to get premiers thinking beyond their limited state borders and remembering that we are all Australians in this. Let's not trash the Australian economy. Let's not trash our society. Let's get, you know, get on with the game. And start to get to a position where we can reopen for business domestically and internationally.
Yeah, well, I think in light of those comments, we look at Queensland, and I just made a comment with one of my colleagues earlier today, Neil Breen in Brisbane on 4BC, and we're broadcasting to Brisbane anyway now and to Queensland generally. There needs to be some defining process from Anastasia Palaszczuk, not because she feels, you know, beholden to Southerners, be it New South Wales or Victorians, but she's got businesses up there that are eating the dates off the calendar. They're going broke day by day by day because no one from other states, and she'd say, well, they've got rampant COVID rates, we can't let them in. But as we draw to that 80% double vax rate, she's got to have a plan in place to say, well, if you wish to book accommodation on the Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast, or far north Queensland, and flights, I'll give you a projection that if you get to that particular stage, at that particular stage, on this date, we'll open the borders and people who are double vax can come up here and enjoy a holiday. But just simply saying, oh, we're going to wait and wait and wait, by the time we get to November, December, it's too late for people to make arrangements for their family to come elsewhere. It's just too late. And so there's got to be some sort of settlement at National Cabinet where, you know, you're not point scoring over Gladys Berejiklian or Daniel Andrews or, you know, other premiers, or Michael McGowan is doing things in Western Australia to protect Western Australians. I mean, you've got to make sure that we are a commonwealth of states that are going to look after people nationally, not just domestically.
No, Ray, you've hit the nail on the head, and I think that's really what the business community is looking for here. So I really hope that we can get to that point. You're right, we can't delay, and you can't wait. It would be crazy in these states which are currently more or less COVID-free, that they can't take that risk. They need to prepare as well. You know, they could be in the same spot in the next 1 or 2 weeks. We just don't know. So prepare now, communicate to business and the community, and make sure we're prepared.
I think that's a very good point you make. You know, they've dodged some bullets in Queensland, and thankfully they'll keep dodging bullets. But as you say, and I've said many times here, it took one bloke taking an air crew from the airport to a hotel. He gave it to his wife. A party got it at West Hoxton. And now we're looking like 1,200 a day because of one person. And it can happen in Queensland as well tomorrow. If it happens, it happens. I don't want it to happen, but it can. And they've got to start thinking about that process and what we deal with it, and pushing up vaccination rates and getting businesses back to normal as quickly as possible. I appreciate your time, Andrew. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ray.
Andrew McKellar, CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry.